Good morning. Thank you again for joining us for the Word for Life radio ministry. Last time we were together, Pastor Ken and I were talking to Brittany Stanky, who was sharing her testimony about spending 3.5 weeks, I think you said, Brittany, in the islands of the Philippines this last summer. Great opportunity to kind of share the gospel, teach some English classes, that kind of a thing. Did you see maybe any exciting thing happen while you were there? Maybe you heard about it while you were there.
Yes, while I was there, something with Muslim ministry that can at times be discouraging is that it takes a very long time. It's not a, you know, you present the gospel once and it's done. It, you know, is a process of building relationships and showing the love of Christ over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been working alongside missionaries who had been there for some of them about 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
And they had went years and years and never experienced any conversions.
Yeah.
But shortly before I had gotten there, they had just witnessed, I think, an entire family that had decided to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior.
Right.
And it started with their sponsorship program. Their daughter couldn't afford education, and so they went to the NGO, the ministry that I was working with, and their little girl just was coming for tutoring, and then in the summer she'd go for what are called values classes, and little by little, every time they needed something, they realized they didn't go to their fellow Muslims for help. They went to these Christians who they used to be terrified of and hateful towards, who they would mock, who they would try and stop whatever they would be doing, but I think one of their family members had gotten very, very sick.
Okay.
And they had, you know, been praying for them.
Yeah.
They would constantly, you know, make them meals and take their other children and watch them for them so the parents could be at the hospital. They would, you know, provide money for medicine. And it just, it touched them so deeply that they finally just came in tears and they said, we want to know how to follow Jesus because he is so attractive to us as we see how you care for us, even though, you know, we've been so cruel to you in the
right,
past.
Right, right.
But finally, it broke down those barriers, and so now they're one of the few converts in the area. But it's just a really neat transition to see that, you know, that difference and to see how the children used to always look so sad, and now they have smiles on their faces because they have Jesus and they know him personally.
What a testimony.
Pastor Gary, that reminds me of the story Paul Sager shared with us about that Mohammed that was he ended up working with the Hamas. He was a Syrian sniper, and they got run out of Syria into Lebanon. And over in Lebanon, earlier on when he was with the Syrian army, they were abusing and killing Lebanese people. And here they had about a couple hundred of them that went into a camp, refugee camp there in Lebanon. And they there was a small church there, about 100 people would provide a box lunch, medical supplies for him, meet with him. He just couldn't believe they loved him, you know, after what they did to the Lebanese people.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he's under conviction. He ran over there, talked to the pastor. Pastor led him to the Lord. And because of the love of the Lebanese people, changed his name to Botros, which meant Peter. Then had an opportunity with an Al-Qaeda leader to share the gospel with. They were in jail together. But it reminded me that the Lebanese people loved this man and his family.
Right, right.
Just like this family over there that you were with in the Philippines loved this other Muslim family and just gave themselves. And I think that's how we were kind of challenged.
Right, right. And even in the last missions conference, we kept hearing love, 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 love. That kept coming out in just about every testimony that opened the doors, and we basically said, you know, love is the international language. When people sense that you love them, their ears begin to open up.
Until they know you care, they don't care what you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I think we were commissioned to, you know, they'll know that you're Christians by your love.
Right.
Sharing the gospel, of course, is the most loving thing you can do, but until someone realizes that you care for them as a person,
right,
then instead of a project, and I think that is something that speaks very highly to Muslims, that they're not there because you have a hidden agenda. You're there because you love them, no matter what.
Right.
Pastor Gregory, I think it seems like to me Americans are afraid of Muslims.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they consider them part of the radical group with some bomb strapped on them or what, but it seems like there's either fear or even some, even believers can have some hostility, you know, right. towards them and, you know, kind of wanted to say, hey, go back to your own home.
Well, it's kind of like Saul of Tarsus. Prior to that time, yeah, Christians were afraid of him because he was killing them. And so when God begins to work with him, even when the message came to Ananias, I want you to go talk to Saul of Tarsus, Ananias probably got cold feet and was saying, now, Lord, we need to talk. You know, you know what he's been doing, God. And I think that that's the attitude, like, there's no way they're ever going to be interested in our God. They have their own God. And, of course, that's always Satan's plan.
Right.
They have their own God. Only problem is they don't have peace.
So you're doing some work here in Milwaukee, right?
Correct.
Okay. Same type of format. You're just loving these Islamic people. And, in fact, folks listening, if your neighbors, invite them over for Thanksgiving. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do for Thanksgiving. So,
Well, some of them don't celebrate holidays, but you can do, you know, a feast that you don't have to necessarily call it Thanksgiving. But, yeah, invite them over for a fall feast. Or,
right.
What I've found is that there are Muslims that are just as afraid of us as we are of them. Many of the women that we work with, they said, you know, we're so afraid, like the refugees who've moved here, we're so afraid to walk outside of our homes because we know that Americans hate us and people stare at us and they give us scornful looks. And who wants to go out among those people and feel like they're constantly being looked down upon or that people are walking the other direction when they see them coming? And I just think that's so sad that we're a nation that is supposed to be full of people who are Christians, and Christians should be signified by their love,
right.
Then we should be the first ones to go to our refugee neighbors and welcome them to our neighborhood or to our city and see how can we tangibly meet their needs to eventually show them the need for their, you know, ultimate salvation need.
And I think you made an important point, Brittany, the idea that they're not projects. They're people.
Absolutely.
If they're projects, then nobody wants to be a project. You want to be known and loved for who you are and to be concerned about them. Like you said, if they're lonely, we can solve that. We can be their friends.
And they are so excited to have an American friend. I've noticed that with all of the women, they're always wanting to introduce me to their other friends or take pictures of me because it's amazing to them that a white person is excited to meet with them or wants to befriend them or will, you know, take them shopping or teach them how to drive. Or actually at the center where I am a part of, they also just started a sewing class for the women.
Yeah.
They do tutoring for children. They do different field trips to take them to places around Milwaukee because a lot of them don't have transportation, or if their husbands are gone during the day, they're just sort of stuck at home all day with by themselves. And there's just so many opportunities with, you know, needing to go to doctor's appointments and someone to help translate a lot of that medical jargon that they can't understand, or filling out forms for their children to be able to go to school.
Sure.
There's so many needs of the refugees, and it's just great to be able to meet some of those tangible needs and to show them.
So when you came back from the Philippines, did you then begin to look for conclaves of Islamic folks that you could begin to connect with?
It was actually a little bit before that.
Okay.
I started meeting with a Libyan woman about every week. So, yeah, it was right before that. And actually, when I initially thought of going to visit my friend in the Philippines, I wasn't even certain that she was working with Muslims. God just sort of had that all work together.
Yeah.
In his perfect way,
right.
That, you know, what I was just had started doing over here, he was now confirming with where I would be going for the summer. And then, of course, when I came back, I had all the more just excitement to be a part of that and to put more in practice that I had learned while I was overseas.
Brittany, so you went to the Philippines. Have you been anywhere else in the world as far as on mission trips, or was Philippines one of the first ones for you, or how's God led there?
My prior trip was when I student taught in the Czech Republic, so I was in Europe for about 3 months.
Okay. And you had opportunities, gospel opportunities, even though you're over there teaching?
Yes, I was able to interact with a lot of the families and students of the school that I went to. Some of them were expats, and not all of them were Christians, even though it was a Christian school. So I was able to reach out to some of the international people who were stationed there and sent their children to that school.
Well, okay.
So, yes, I was able to interact with them and share the gospel with some of them.
Any idea what direction the Lord may be leading you as far as mission work, country or whatever?
I could see myself returning to the Philippines. I really loved the culture there.
Okay.
And the people. I really enjoyed my time there and could see myself being there in the future. But at this point, I'm not totally certain.
You're doing what now?
You're teaching right now, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Kindergarten. Okay.
Teaching kindergarten. Right. Yes.
And loving it. I can see the smile on your face as soon as we talk about it, you know. And love your students. That's really a neat grade to begin to see them develop with their ability to read and their eyes open up like, oh, I get it.
Everything is new and exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can see that that would be the same excitement of a pioneer work, mm-hmm. like in the Philippines. If you were a part of a team where you went where maybe the gospel hadn't been preached yet,
mm-hmm.
just to be a part of, oh, I see how it all works. And what's the name of that Itau, that movie
Itau.
That we watched years ago?
We need to watch that again. That's a great video.
So neat just to watch how the missionary family went in and just started with the Genesis story of creation.
Right.
Have you seen the movie, Brittany?
I don't know that I've seen that movie, but I know that there's been a resurgence and just going back and starting, you know, mm-hmm. in Genesis and doing a chronological overview of the Bible because it's so important that, you know, many people don't know God as a creator. And so you need to start at that point. And then that will be that springboard to eventually get to Jesus. But you need all that background information before you jump right to Jesus.
Right, so they'll understand how he all fits into the picture.
Right.
We struggle with that in America, with God's, you know, God being the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one thing, they explained the different ways that men look at how people are on the earth today. And when they were told about, you know, evolution and that mm-hmm. we came from monkeys, I mean, it was the Moke tribe in New Guinea, they said, well, that is crazy, you mm-hmm. know. But I want you to know, you know, that story was about Ron Zook, and I don't know if it was in the last year or the last couple of years, he went home to be with the Lord. I'm sure he got a great homecoming as he ministered and gave the gospel.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Brittany, as you went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
did you take any missions classes?
Yes, everyone who goes to Moody has a minor in Bible, and I did take some missions classes while I was there.
Okay.
And I'd always hoped to use my teaching degree as an opportunity
right.
to be on the mission field. And, you know, even here in Milwaukee, I have learned that it is a mission field here. We have refugees right here in our own city.
Sure.
Just looking and waiting for people to come alongside them, and they need the gospel as much as the Muslims everywhere in the world. And so I guess I'd give that challenge to everyone here to see if there's some way they can partner with the gospel here in our home.
And we could close our program by simply saying, if you see Muslim folks around you walking or in a store or whatever, greet them. Smile.
Right.
Ask a few questions. You know, how long have you been here? Is there any way I can help you?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you're having trouble finding? Those kinds of things can begin to open friendships, which it sounds like that's what you have been doing,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord has opened some fantastic doors. Been talking to Brittany Stanky, and she has been blessed by the Lord to just reach Muslim ladies with the gospel. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.